Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. Today's scripture is brought to us by Tony Financial Services, and it's Genesis 3:6. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it.
Yeah, we forget that part. Like, he was right there in that decision-making process. But every week, you get this with us. Thank you to the Tony Financial Services for the scripture of the week. They always bring it to us. And thank you for them for providing this week's scripture, but also for being a trusted wealth management firm that specializes in biblical financial principles and biblically responsible investing. So really good. Proud for them. They're doing a good job. We love that they've partnered with us to try to bring you some more scripture and make this show better.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. Today, we're talking about not being passive.
Yeah, taking the reins, being the spiritual leader, being the man of the household, and showing your family what's important and taking action.
Amen. I've been texting somebody who's not my wife. Like, hey, bud, this isn't her.
All righty. Well, I mean, if that's the case, we need to have a bigger conversation than family goals, but...
Are we starting?
Yeah, I mean, we're starting now. Right, that was actually the first way to start. That is going on the podcast, but I know it was out of context, but y'all heard that. That was interesting. I'm texting somebody that's not my wife.
Somehow somebody else's number I saved into under Jennifer's name, and so somehow, I mean, we had our ongoing text, Jennifer and I, you know.
Yes.
And so somehow this other person jumped in.
So they're in the singular text feed with just you and Jennifer, yeah. There's another person that's interjecting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's amazing.
So I just deleted his number. Yeah, the guy.
When you started,
it was a South Carolina number, so I don't know how that got in there.
That's amazing. Yeah. That happens, and that's fun. I like that.
You know, I'm an old man.
I mean, those are things that happen.
Technology is a struggle.
I have to start here, and I have to say this. So Pastor Jay told the story in church about being with Chipper Jones. So I just want to point out, so Wes, I'd love to get your input on this. He goes to Chipper Jones on the driving range, and he tells him his Brett Favre, how he struck out Brett Favre in 12U sports. Why? Like, in what world do you think Chipper gives a rat's arse? I mean...
I'm going to fix this really quick, and then I'll weigh in.
It was a total dad thing to do, but see, everyone kept
asking me. But you
got to
stop when you do that. When you start, you have to get to the point where you look at him and you're like, surely he's not paying attention because he doesn't give a crap. Like,
well, that was obvious. I could see it on his face. Like, he was like, who is this dude, and why is he telling me this story?
So I'll say at the Celebrity Golf Classic, Chipper had – everybody coming up to him, and I was impressed with how patient he was, but you could also tell that he didn't care about anything that anyone had to say, respectfully. You know?
But he did share with me a Brett Favre story, so he reciprocated. I was like, oh, this is great.
But I mean, I understand that from Chipper's perspective, because it is hard, and you got so many people talking to you. and you can't get invested in every story, and you're there to play golf, and there's a lot going on. So I get it. You just hope that people have enough couth not to do it. Like that's the goal. Like, because I invite these guys and I feel bad. Like when stuff like that happens, I do feel bad when they get swamped or something. But to think that you were one of the ones that were literally telling him a story on the range when he's trying to warm up for a golf outing that he could give a rat's ace about, like, read the room, bro.
He was already warmed up. He was sitting back under a tree, hanging out with his buddies.
Wow, that changed. You said he was hitting balls at the church.
He was not hitting balls at this. I'm respectful, but it was just funny. It was funny. People think it's funny. Of course, Chipper Jones didn't think it was funny. But then he reciprocated. He told me a story.
No, you.
No, he's never told this story on Family Goals.
About me striking out Brett Favre?
Yeah, if you're going to talk about a story.
That's true. Go ahead, tell him.
I think the very first podcast episode.
We talked about, it's been a long time ago. So like, tell the story.
Like 200.
Because the story is equally as bad. I mean, go ahead and tell the story.
Little League All-Stars, South Mississippi, 12 years old. The story is I struck out Brett Favre. That's my baseball
Wes,
claim to
that's
fame.
That's it, Wes. That's the story.
Awesome. I guess it would be kind of like striking out David Pollock.
That'd be a lot easier, probably. I bet Favre is a lot better at baseball.
It's just a joke. I know it's a joke. It's like my fishing stories. I'm not a fisherman, and so that's what makes it funny when I post pictures of me catching fish.
I love when you do that.
And I'm not really a baseball player.
I love that you hold up the pictures. And like every time you talk about a fish story, you hold it up. It's absolutely fantastic.
So, yeah. So when I was telling people that I had told Chipper Jones the Brett Favre story, everyone has the same reaction as you, like shaking their head, like, why are you bothering him
I mean, I'm sure a part of you had to say that inside, I hope, but...
Oh, yeah. The whole time I knew, like, this, you're being an idiot here, but it's just, okay. It was just kind of a funny thing. So.
Sweet. What we got today? We're going to talk about. We're going to dig into.
Well, it's summer. Lots going on this summer.
Yeah.
So we can go in any direction here.
Well, you know me. I'm not prepared, so we can go whatever we want to go.
I know you're not prepared. First, I wanted to say, you know, LSU baseball.
How about
in the College World Series championship again.
How about they,
Dynasty?
Is it fair to say this? Like, they have no business being there.
What?
Well, I'm just saying, like, they found a way to just luck their way through so many cool opportunities. Like, last night, Arkansas handed it to them on a silver platter. I mean, it was a bad... Like,
it's just the LSU way.
But I'm not saying... First of all, it doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter if you luck your way there. That doesn't... All that matters is you win. Like, I don't... So you can take it as a knock if you want to, but, like, it was... They've just found ways to get there somehow, some way, when you don't really look at them and think by any stretch they're the best team. But how do you not cheer for Coastal Carolina? Like,
Coastal Carolina.
I'm absolutely going for Coastal Carolina. And so is all the country. Like, 26 straight wins, they're not supposed to be good. Like, you're not supposed to be good at Coastal Carolina. You don't have the same resources and NIL money. Like, I remember you talked about the stadium food at Coastal Carolina. And how awesome that's going to be. It was a long time ago. You probably
I've
don't
never
remember
been to
it.
Coastal Carolina.
Like, maybe that was Wes, but talking about how, like, no, it wasn't the food. It was how, with their NIL, like, they're feeding people, basically.
Yeah.
Like, or they're basically trying to get you to come to games, so they're giving all kinds of food away, which is fantastic. It's awesome. But they have to find ways to reinvent themselves. Their players get plucked by LSU, and LSU pays them a lot of money, but they're still there. That's to me what's really, really cool about the World Series.
Yeah, they're definitely a Cinderella story. But don't be knocking on the Tigers. I mean, we have three first-round draft pick pitchers. We did not luck our way into it.
You did.
We didn't lose a game.
What do you call what happened with Arkansas? Was that luck or was that just great baseball? How many errors did they give you? They should have turned a double play. They missed a pop fly in the outfield, and they missed a ball right to their shortstop or second baseman to end the game. Like. What part of that is not lucking? There's a lot of luck involved in that.
I think after the game, Scott Van Pelt summed it up nicely. Pressure makes diamonds, and pressure busts pipes.
Yeah.
LSU's the diamonds. Arkansas's busting pipes.
So you can't even admit you got lucky.
Oh, they gave it away.
Correct.
That's another way of saying that. They would have to beat us twice.
Correct.
And that's still what happened. We would have had our ace going tonight. I mean,
other first rounder?
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be a top 10 pick.
But the other guy that just gave up 9 or whatever it was first rounder too? Just got beat around a little bit or whatever. That's okay.
No, we were throwing one of our scrubs last night.
Why are you throwing scrubs if you got three first rounders?
Because we didn't have to win the game. They had to beat us twice. It's called strategy.
Strategery. It's strategery.
Strategery. Why are you hating on LSU baseball?
Because it ruffles your feathers a little bit, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, you get me ruffled. You give me a hard time about talking about Chipper Jones, and now you give me a hard time about LSU baseball. That would be kind of like saying that North Oconee football lucked its way into the championship and won the championship by luck.
Sometimes that happens, though, and that's okay. I mean
– But I wouldn't say that to you because I know you poured a lot into this.
But it still happens, and that's okay. By the way, that ring's still going to bling regardless of whether I lucked into it or not.
LSU's got 7 national championships in baseball.
Coastal Carolina's going to win.
Coastal Carolina has 1.
They're about to have 2.
They have 1 national championship.
They're about to have 2.
We'll see how the Chanticleers do.
I'm all Chanticleers. I'm going to be texting you.
Yeah, be texting me. I like this. I like this. You like to hate on LSU.
No, I don't hate on
you. Hating on Angel Reese last podcast, I think it was.
That should happen.
You've been hating on Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. Jefferson.
How have I ever hated on them? I had Jamar Chase in my fantasy team,
man.
And I was loving life, especially when he dropped like 60 one Thursday night.
I love having him on my team. So yeah, anything happening this summer with you guys?
Just busy.
Busy, busy.
Coaching girls basketball and boys football in the month of June is a lot of fun. It's a whole lot of fun. A lot going on.
I didn't know it was football season.
It's the whole month of June.
Basketball season.
The basketball you can do for the whole month of June, and then you're off. Then you're off for like July. But for the month of June, you go to camps as a team. And we went to UNG and University of North Georgia, Georgia State. We went to Lake Point and did a tournament. We're going to South Carolina, like go all over the place. And I mean, it's kind of cool because you're team building too and figuring out what you have and stuff. So it's fun. But at the same time, you're doing football 7-on-7s at Georgia Tech, Athens Academy, all over the place. And so definitely busy for sure.
Yeah, we've been busy.
I thought life slowed down when you got older.
We've been busy at church. We had sports camp. 1,000 kids came.
How cool is that?
127 kids committed their lives to Christ. Isn't that amazing?
Both of mine accepted Christ at sports camp.
That's awesome.
Both of mine did. I mean, it's just such a great event to expose kids to fun, gospel, like messages they probably haven't heard, people they haven't been around. Like, I think I'm not surprised why that's always successful. It's just a fun, like we volunteer at it every year. We always will. It's an easy place to, you know, like all the vocational Bible schools and stuff, just camps and stuff that get the kids away and help them feel comfortable and they can ask questions and, you know, get more interested in all the different topics.
Yeah, it's a super cool ministry. I don't know. The majority of the kids don't go to Greystone Church.
No.
So all the kids that accepted Christ, we wrote them a letter this week to their parents and then sent them a book, Now That I'm a Christian, just to let their parents know, hey, your kid made a decision to accept Christ. Here's a book you can walk through with your parents that explains the gospel and baptism and the
That's
Lord's
dope,
Supper
man.
And all these
things. I like that.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
We're sending to all of them.
That's and, really cool. That's called.
Hopefully they'll take root and grow.
Well, and I think that's so important because so much of faith that happens, you know, with kids, like it does have an opportunity to run uphill a lot. Mm-hmm. Like kids can affect parents just as much as parents can affect kids. And I've seen that with eating and exercise, and you've seen kids get healthy and start making a concern, and then all of a sudden it trickles up to parents. It's the same thing with faith. Now, obviously the trickle down is more steady and more consistent and bigger, but it absolutely can go upstream. You know, you can see that. And I've seen people's kids come to Christ and them affect their parents, and their parents are like, oh wait, if this is important to them, I want to make sure it's important to me and get them in church. And so I think that's super smart. That's really good by Greystone.
Yeah, a lot of the kids on Sunday morning asking their parents to come to church, and I talked to some of the parents. They were like, "Well, how could I tell my child no when they're wanting me to take them
Dad,
to church?
Can we go to church? No, absolutely not. Something
no,
that's going to make
go.
You better? Like,
we can't
no,
go.
You shut your mouth.
Yeah. So that was cool. Of course, our kids are at Fuge Camp right now. We have 116 students at Fuge Camp. That's where my daughter, Jessie, is.
Nicholas is there, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was hoping he was able to go. So yeah. Colton said Coach Arndt let the football players miss to go to church camp.
Yeah, they had 7-on-7 Tuesday, and then afterwards went straight to camp all smelly and grungy.
Oh, wow.
And all. Yeah, it's fantastic. But yeah, it was a couple of them. There's 3 of them that went, so that's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
You know, it's tough when you have high school sports and you don't want to miss things. So it's good when you can get them to miss things and go do something different.
Yeah. And then we had our men's conference, which I wanted to talk to you about. I thought it'd be a good way to kick off the podcast. But Josh Smith, pastor of Prince Avenue, did a great job.
Titus 10, right?
He wrote that, right? Titus 10. He's got a book called Titus 10.
It's a really good book.
I highly recommend it.
I've read it. It's a really good book.
And so the two things he talked about, we picked out two topics. I thought it'd be great for us to talk about. He talked about authority and dominion. And he said the biggest weaknesses of men right now are passivity and isolation. And he spent some time talking about the passivity part, where basically is men not being men. I mean, and he actually said that men need to grow up here, which is probably the first time a pastor said that
in church
at Greystone Church.
He said men need to grow up here.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Of course, the room was men. I'm sure we have some ladies that listen to this podcast, but probably your mom. Although she told me she wasn't going to listen anymore. She was mad at me because I didn't.
She was mad at you.
Well, she was mad at you.
I'm about to say, she's usually mad at me because why do you bust Pastor Jay's balls?
Is that what she says?
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
she was mad at you
growing a pair
because you said she beat you growing up, and then I didn't defend her like I knew better. It's like, well, I wasn't actually there.
Yeah, we don't know about that. We don't know. Let's not talk about this again.
Let's talk about
mom does
passivity of men.
So like, let's talk about growing a pair.
Growing a pair.
Okay.
He's basically said everyone, you're born a male, but you become a man. And
yeah.
So that was he had some pretty good one-liners, but he used the example of, you know, a lot of people blame Eve for the falling into sin, but the scripture says that Adam was sitting right there.
Yeah.
And he could have easily used his authority, he could have easily used his dominion, he could have easily stepped in front of the enemy
and been like
and put kept that down. His wife from doing it. So really he's more responsible because he was not fulfilling his God-given duty to
be the man of the house.
Be the man of the house.
Disrespectful to women, but right. Like in the Bible, it's very clear. Like you're the man of the house. You're supposed to be the man of the house. And I've read so many different numbers over the years, but like, you know, there's a big, you know, huge stat that says like when a man comes to Christ in a household and leads his household and gets his kids in church, like it's, you know, the number's really mm-hmm. high of the kids following suit. So you do have obviously huge responsibility. That's why God gave you a deeper voice and a bigger body and more intimidating body. And I think all of that worked together. But yeah, I've heard that a lot about that. But I think passivity is something that I think people naturally associate that with Jesus, because Jesus was non-confrontational, but he wasn't passive. There's a big difference. Like, and I would argue
Jesus actually was
confrontational too, but like he was not demeaning or degrading and name calling and
he
getting
was
in
humble
it.
And meek.
Those humble and meek are great things. Passivity mm-hmm. isn't a great right. thing. That means
passivity is like dropping the buck. Like it's
not picking it up.
Yeah. Not picking it
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Like it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Like we've got to have those things that are important to us and live by our mm-hmm. convictions that are like, and our God-given convictions. And I'd argue, like, if you're listening to this podcast and you're trying to make us, like, you're trying to live for God, like, you're holding your family to those standards. And those things are important to you, not just, okay. Like, if you don't have a map and you don't have a plan, like, it's not going to go well most of the time. And so it's incumbent upon you as a man to take the bull by the horns. And listen, we've talked about this before. If you don't, I can promise you women will. They are wired
they
to do it. They
lead.
Will step in and do whatever is required and whatever is necessary. Women are freaking awesome, and they are built to get stuff done. Like they will get stuff mm-hmm. done. Every company, corporation, event, everything I've ever worked at, like there's a reason most of the time the women are organizing it, because they're just like at 5:28, you're going to say this, you're going to do that. I mean, it's just. But yeah, I think there's a difference, and I'll be interested to hear more about what he said and how you can, like, how do you say you can notice when you're passive or when somebody's passive to know that this is something that needs to change?
Yeah, he gave several examples of, well, like church being one, like it's really the husband's responsibility to say, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Like we're going to be in church on Sunday instead of leaving it up to the wife or leaving it up to the kids.
This is what we do. We're going to church.
This is what we
get
do.
Up,
we're,
get dressed.
We're going to church.
Yeah.
And or even reading the Bible, even leading your family. I don't know all the different examples that he gave. I should have brought my notes on that. But a lot
you
of
got
it,
50 other pages of notes.
I've got all,
you bring
I've got
those
all kind of notes here. But yeah, he was talking about it's our job to get between the enemy and our wives. It's our job to get between the enemy and our kids. It's our job to get between the enemy and our family. It's our job to get between the enemy and the church. And so, you know, basically not sitting back and just living by default and letting things
happen.
Oh, that
just happens.
Yeah, but...
Oh, that's just a part of growing up is messing up.
Being proactive, being the leader. He talked about dominion, which not domineering. You're not dominating your spouse or your kids, but you have dominion, meaning you have a leadership of. You're responsible. Like Adam had dominion over the garden. Like he was responsible for the garden. He let the enemy come in, and so we have dominion over our families. We have dominion over our marriages, and so it's our job to be leaders. Of course, we servant leaders.
Yeah,
you lead by laying your life down.
It's not a dictatorship. It's not you don't have authority where you have the right to treat them like crap. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's talking about. But you know, you're the leader. You're mm-hmm. the coach. You're the coach, and that's your squad. Like, it's your job to make tough decisions. It's your job to organize things that need to be organized. It's your job to now listen. The women are going to help you, and they're going to do a better job of teaching them. I would argue about mm-hmm. humility and compassion, and their roles are every bit as important. But it's also, and here's the thing, man. There's so many people that I know that are always searching for the next thing to do with their kids, and the next thing to do with their kids to help teach them something. And that is great. That is awesome. I love that. They're going to get the most from just the way you're treating mama. I mean, if you want to boil mm-hmm. down to it, like we can boil all of this down. Like, how do you treat mama? Mm-hmm. How do you treat your bride, who's the most important person thing that's walking this earth? And then everything else from them is going to filter out of that. Like every single thing, like that's how we treat people. Okay. That's how you treat me. That's how we treat others. Like, that's the importance of the level of respect she mm-hmm. gets. Like, that's the culture setter, man. Like, you want a secret sauce for your family? Bro, show them what it looks like to treat your wife like $1 million. Mm-hmm. Like, that she's the most important thing on this earth. That you're greeting her with a kiss. That you're loving on her. That you're opening doors for her. That you're just... that she's a priority, like that she matters. Her voice matters. You listen when she talks. You're not sitting there texting on the phone every time she talks. Like that is so powerful. Like if you want to lead if you want to lead and you struggle with communication and you don't know how to say X, Y, and Z, do different things, you can do that. Every single one of you listening, like mm-hmm. you can love your spouse like a boss. Like you can freaking make them priority one, and everybody in your household knows it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of the images that he used for dominion. One was a plow, and the other was a sword. And so the idea of a sword, like you carry your sword, you're the protector of your family, you're protector of your wife, you're protector of your kids. There's a battle to fight. And then he talked about a plow, meaning hard work, tool, he basically was talking about how in business, you know, we're taking risks, we're working hard, we're doing all of this, and then we come home to relax. But he was making the argument that when you come home, that's when you pick up your plow the most. Like when you come home, that's not the time to be passive, that's not the time to be lazy, that's the time that you're actually going to work. And he was talking about laying your head on the pillow at night and just being like exhausted because, hey, I carried my plow today, not just at work, but also at home. And I've been fighting the battle, not just fighting for faith in myself, but fighting for my wife, my kids.
And that battle is more important.
Yeah, and that's the point he was making.
So, but we get
like
that
home is that's your greatest.
But we
calling
get that twisted.
Home.
But yeah. I'll also argue too, like historically, like there's a lot of like back in the day, the man got home from work and the man got served And like, it was the wife's job to serve. And like, cause you just worked all day. Now dynamics in the household has absolutely changed, right? Like there's so many multi, working households that the wife and the husband work. But I think that's everybody's natural inclination is to come home, decompress, get away. If that's your only opportunity to plug in and to do some of the things that to lead your family, like you got to sacrifice something and you've got to be willing to understand. Like when I pull in the driveway, like I would pray myself up and I would be like, all right, like I got to go bring the fun. I got to go bring this. I got to go bring that. Like a lot, I'm a big creating memories guy. Like I want to make memories. Like when I was younger, I would just remember walking in the house. I'm like, I'm about to make a memory. We're going to do something stupid, crazy, wrestle, jump, throw. I would throw my kids from one side of the couch to the other. I'd do fastballs and throw them 9,000 miles an hour. We do sky balls and throw them up in the air. Like,
why do you like throwing kids around?
I don't know. That's fun. They enjoy it usually.
You've thrown a lot of kids around.
I've thrown a lot of kids. Thank God I hadn't dropped any of them.
We have a video of you throwing some kids in Honduras.
Yeah.
Throwing kids in Honduras up in the air.
I caught them. As long as you catch them, I think it's okay. But I think that's like, I think the inclination is I did what I needed to provide for my family. I need to come home and decompress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I would argue that you need to make sure when you walk in the house that you're on your game and that you're pouring into your family, because that might be the only thing they get. Mm-hmm. And if that's all they get, it's got to be great. You got to give them the best of you.
Yeah, I think that's a good image of on your way home from work, instead of being completely depleted, you're trying to fill
let
your
God
tank
fill you
back up.
Oh, yeah.
Whether that's through worship, through a podcast, through whatever you got to do to when you walk through that house, you're there to
you got
to
be back
there
on.
To lead. You're there to serve. You're, yeah. you're there to you know to
put
invest.
The phone away.
Yeah.
Put work away for
leave
a little
work
bit.
Work in the car. Leave Make, the phone in the car.
Well, and again, it's easy. I think that's easier for us to say with our occupations, mm-hmm. but like, you know, create those non-negotiables for your family of things you're going to, I was talking to a buddy the other day who's a very successful businessman. He was like, dude, I just never forget listening to you about the phone and putting it away. And he's like, I come home and it's just, I ain't got it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go do bath time and we're not going to be interrupted. Like, it's just going to be baby time. It's going to be time for my kids. And so, those are important things, but I know you got more notes, but let's just, we're gonna make this a part two. No, I need you to stop. Like
we're done with this.
We can't go for an hour. Like people are
going
to get bored.
How long have we been going, Wes?
We're good. He can't hear you at all.
Oh, he can't hear me? Sorry. Now, how long have we gone?
29 minutes.
Okay,
that'd be a good one.
That's what I'm saying.
Sounds good.